Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. I'm your host, Cody. Hello. So we're going to continue the theme for the month of August, which is awesome bands that are like some of my favorites and stuff. There's no real thought process behind it. It's stuff that broadened my musical horizons at the time when I first heard them. So far, we've gone over the Aquabats, the Misfits, and we're going to go in today, like I said last week, to Social Distortion. Social Distortion is a punk rock band from Fullerton, California. It was formed way back in the year 1978. Its mainstay band member and creator of said band is Mike Ness. He is the only original member of the band. We'll go over a little bit of that in here. It's had several band members throughout the years, way more than I'm ever going to go through because it makes no sense to go over them. The only other real big member of it was went by the name. His name is Dennis Donnell. He played many roles in the band. He took over playing. He was originally on bass with Mike Ness on guitar and vocals, and he replaced a couple members that were originally in the band that later during the early formative years and before the release of their first real big album, three of those members went on to form a band called The Adolescents, which is another really good punk rock band from way back in the day. They recorded quite a few different albums throughout the years as Social Distortion changed and evolved around not just their sound, but just their style of play as well. Mike Ness was very influenced by the Sex Pistols, who are a British rock band, British punk rock band from way back in the day. I'm not going to give you the history of them. He also loved rock bands like the Rolling Stones, which later on they recorded an amazing version of Under My Thumb, originally by Rolling Stones, which is one of pretty much everyone's favorite songs for them to play live. So that's always a fun one to go through. So of their albums, I'll go through them real quick, and I'll tell you my favorite songs on there, and I'll go over a couple different things. And mind you, majority of these albums were recorded when I was a wee lad, and I didn't really get into them until later on, because I was young. I say later on, it was a couple years after they were really recording stuff. The first album I ever heard by them was released in 1990 on Epic Records. It was the self-titled album, Social Distortion, and it's the third studio album they had. And once I heard this album, if you don't know all the stuff that or the, how this album became hugely popular, they did another cover song, Ring of Fire, originally by Johnny Cash. The song was played by Johnny Cash. It was actually written by June, but that's a different story. That song was all over the radio at the time when I was growing up, and has been all over the place, everywhere. It's been in video games, not just like Guitar Hero, but it's been in other ones. It's been in movies. It's been all over the place. It's a fantastic version of the song. It's very, when you hear it, it's very familiar because of the Johnny Cash version, but also very up-to-date and very punk rocky. It's pretty awesome. Almost rockabilly, if some people want to go that far. I've never really considered Social Distortion rockabilly before, that's how that works. So I heard that song on the radio, and I was like, well, I'm going to go check that out. So I did, and then it has just a shit ton of amazing songs on it. All 10 of the original tracks on that album are fantastic. You have songs like Story of My Life, Ball and Chain. Let It Be Me, Sick Boys. I mean, again, all 10 tracks were amazing, so they were fantastic. I found this album, I loved it, and I was like, oh, I think it was to find out. And back then, there wasn't really the internet to go searching for stuff, so I had to go down to my record store, which is called Music Trader. Oddly enough, the record store I ended up working at later on, which comes into play again later with this band, and I'll tell you that more about that when I come to my personal story about this here band. I went back, I said, hey, man, to the guy there, and I don't remember who it was. I like this band, Social Distortion. I like that album they just released. What else can I get? And he's like, hey, little man. I was like, well, that's rude of you to say. He says, they got two other albums. You want to get, you if we can, we have them if you want. And I was like, all right, cool. So I bought those, and they are Prison Bound and Mommy's Little Monster. Mommy's Little Monster was their first release, first full length album release. They released a Mainliner, what was that, that single called, Mainliner and Playpen, early on, but I never found the original version of that, because that was like on vinyl and shit way back in the day. But I bought I bought Prison Bound and Mommy's Little Monster, which were amazing as well. The big songs off of Mommy's Little Monster were the self-titled Mommy's Little Monster, Moral Threat, and Another State of Mind, which is actually the name of the documentary that was filmed about Social Distortion way back in 1984. I can look it up. I have to look it up. It's somewhere in here. But it was Another State of Mind was a documentary about the punk bands. Two in particular, it went on a international tour of U.S. and Canada. It was Social Distortion and Youth Brigade. Youth Brigade later on, their guitar player later on joins the band when it reformed yet again after one of the hiatuses. Again, that's just history. I'm not going to go into that too much, because there's way too much in this band to go through. I went through a bunch of the misfits, and it was, to me, mind-numbing. No one really cares. But there's been a lot of changes in this, like I said. Mommy's Little Monster was a fantastic album. Again, that one has been picked through on so many different music albums as well. There's a ton of them on there. Other bands have covered them as well. Face to Face did a really good version of Telling Them off there. That was done on their live album, the Face to Face live album, which I'll talk about Face to Face one of these days too, because I love those guys as well. There's a bonus track on one of the Green Day albums of Another State of Mind cover. And then there's a Blink-182 reference in one of their songs about one of them. I can't remember which one it was. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head if I could find it, but I don't know where it's at. Anyway, so that was their first album. Fantastic album as well. Their second release, Prison Bound, was another one where they actually had another cover song from the Rolling Stones, because, again, Mike Ness loved Rolling Stones. And that's Backstreet Girl. It was originally done by Rolling Stones. Great song in there as well. Prison Bound is one of the best songs on this particular album. No Pain, No Gain and Lawless is a really good one. I Want What I Want. All 10 of those songs are really good too. So that was their second album. Love that one too. Like I said, then their third album, which is the first one I ever got, was Social Distortion, the self-titled album. It had, like I said, amazing set list. Probably their most solid album overall, I would say, of fantastic songs, definitely this one would be. And then if you ever find it with the Japanese bonus tracks, they have a song called Shame on Me and a cover of a Bobby Womack song called It's All Over Now, which is really good too. Mike Ness does a really good job of covering songs and making them sound fucking phenomenal. So if you ever get a chance, if you can find those songs, I don't know if they ever re-released that album with those songs. I tracked them down on a, don't tell anybody, a torrent site at one point. But I found I have a copy of the Japanese version of this album because I found it used in a Music Trader, that record store I mentioned earlier that I ended up working at later. I found so many variant albums that were like had weird bonus tracks from all over the place because people would sell shit. And then my manager Matt, which I'll get to a little bit when I do my personal story about Social Distortion, knew what bands I really liked, and so he would often find stuff when they went to the warehouse stuff to pull out used stuff to divide up between the different stores. He found me like the import version, the Japanese import version of Sublime's album, I'll go over that one day, which has a bunch of different tracks on it and different artwork on it. But he found me this, and so I bought that one dirt cheap, bought it for like $2. How amazing is that, right? So many albums that way. I have way too many to go over. But so that's that one. Then they released Somewhere Between Heaven and Hell in 1992, which also had a bunch of amazing songs on it too. Number one that everyone talks about from this album would be Bad Luck. Amazing song. Ghost Town Blues is phenomenal. Bye Bye Baby is really good. Born to Lose is a phenomenal song. 99 to Life is really good. King of Fools is really good. I think Mainlander 1992, it's the 1992 re-recording of their very first song, Mainliner, that was released, which I will talk about in the next album that released, was B-sides and rarities that was gone on there. So it's pretty amazing. This album is where people really refer to them as a rockabilly band. It was very, very heavily influenced by country music like Hank Williams and Johnny Cash. There's a lot of different songs in here you can hear that have heavy, heavy influences of those two artists in there. Johnny Cash for sure. Hank Williams is definitely littered through there for sure. Bad Luck was a really big single, really big release for them on this album, reaching number two on the modern rock hit lists, way back in the 1992. Phenomenal album. In 1995, they released the, like I was saying, it's a Mainliner Wreckage from the Past, which is a compilation album of early singles and B-sides that were originally supposed to appear on their both Mommy's Little Monster and Prison Bound. So it had some of those, it had re-recording versions of some of those songs, of some songs like they had both the original versions of 1945 and then the redone version. They did the redone version of Playpen. They had the original version of Mainliner on there versus the 1992 release. This is where they released Under My Thumb, which is the hugely popular cover of the Rolling Stones song that I was talking about earlier. Their version is, I mean, I've never really been a huge Rolling Stones fan. I know a lot of this, I know most of their songs, but I don't listen to them whenever I can. And I listen to Social Distortion all the time. And so this version is fantastic. It's more of a punk rocky feel to it as well. And it's so phenomenal version of it. It's really quick. version of all their early, really a lot of the early songs were very short, like just above 2 minutes. If they hit like a 3 minute song, it was kind of a miracle for some of their stuff. So then we bring to 1996's release of White Light, White Heat, White Trash, another fantastic album with a shit ton of amazing songs on it. This was the album they fully released Under My Thumb on as the very last track. It was a hidden track on this one, mainly because it was so popular on the Mainliner album that they released this on here too as a fun little bonus on there. This one they threw a lot of talent behind. They had extra guitarist on here. They had two different drummers. They had a whole team of engineers in the studio that were working on mixing and doing all sorts of stuff on this album. Really, really pumped a lot of man hours and time into it. And it turned out really well because they had some pretty fucking phenomenal songs. And then this one was one of the first albums where Mike Ness actually wrote all the songs except for the Rolling Stones cover of Under My Thumb, which really showed kind of how he wrote songs differently than like him and Donnell and Moyer wrote songs, because they kind of wrote songs back and forth together. But I Was Wrong was probably the biggest song off this one, besides the hidden track of Under My Thumb. Through These Eyes is really good. Also, this album really played to Mike Ness's love for different artists. This one played a lot of still that rockabilly country influence, with a lot of really emotional themes throughout the songs on there. One of the big tracks, which will later play into a very big thing, was When the Angels Sing, which is an amazing song and usually one of the last songs they play live to kind of close out the show. And then they usually play that one, and then they play a really upbeat song, like usually Ring of Fire or Under My Thumb is usually what they end the show with, because those are big, big ones that everybody can sing along with. Let's see. Again, this one had a bunch of songs that were released as in video games, from everything from Rock Band 2, Dave Mirra's Freestyle BMX. I think Down on the World Again was in Madden. I could be wrong about that. But yeah, it's man, it's such a good album too. All their albums are so good. Then we had the release of, we had a couple things happen. So after White Light, White Heat, White Trash was released in 1996, the band had a couple mix-ups. They were, kind of on a hiatus, during 97, right? I want to say. Yeah, during 97, during that year, they released a live album, Live at the Roxy, in 1998. And then in 1999, Mike Ness released two solo albums, which consisted of all cover songs. They were called Cheating at Solitaire and Under the Influence. The names are very clever, because if you think about the names of them, so Cheating at Solitaire means you're defeating the purpose of doing what you're doing, because of the fact that it's a single player game, and if you cheat at it, you're cheating yourself, you know what I mean? So they're really funny, because they're all the songs in here, they're all cover songs, and often phenomenal songs. Probably the bigger ones would be You Win Again by Hank Williams, Long Black Veil. You had Don't Think Twice by Bob Dylan. I'm in Love with My Car was on there. Um, Yeah, I think those were the big ones. And obviously, like, they were some of the bigger ones. You Win Again, the Hank Williams song, and Don't Think Twice, the Bob Dylan song, were huge covers on that one. And then Under the Influence was solely a covers album. You had Gamblin' Man on there. You had Let the Jukebox Keep on Playing. I Fought the Law. That's a really big one that they play live that everyone loves. What else is on there? Funeral of Love, Ball and Chain, which is the honky tonk version of a Mike Ness song. Fantastic songs just in general on there. And it really kind of showed his love for a lot of different artists, because it ranged anywhere from Charlie McCoy to what's Rainmaker, Rainwater's first name, not Walter, can't remember right now. I could look at him, but I closed the tab that I had open and it doesn't matter. A lot of different country bands. Six More Miles was a Hank Williams song. Early Hank Williams song too, if I'm not mistaken. So that was a really fun one. So he released those two albums in 1999, fairly far apart, I think. One was towards the beginning of the year. The other was, I want to say, summertime. Look right now. April and November. Middle of the year and end of the year. So I had it backwards. Not the beginning of the year. So middle of the year and end of the year. Fantastic albums. Really fun on there, too. And then in 2000, in February of 2000, Dennis Donnell, one of the other longest-running members of Social Distortion, passed away he suffered a brain aneurysm. He died during a hiatus. They were sort of on coming back after the releases of the two solo albums. He passed away. And then there was a lot of rumors that the band had broken up completely because of his death, but it wasn't actually true. Later on, he was replaced by the gentleman I was talking about earlier, the Youth Brigade, Johnny Wickerham. He joined as he took over his guitar duties from Donnell, and he actually was Donnell's guitar tech way back in the day. So he knew all the songs and he knew how he tuned his guitar so he could play the same way. And then during that time they released, they did a lot of touring, and then later on released their next album, which is Sex, Love, and Rock and Roll, another fantastic album. That was released in 2004. This one had a lot of unused material that was originally made for Cheating on Solitaire, and the songs that weren't covers from Under the Influence, and had Wickersham helped write a bunch of these songs as well, and then they had a very big a bunch of songs written. That kind of dealt with Mike Ness's feeling of loss and remorse for his friend passing away, from everything from Angel's Wings. You had Footprints on the Ceiling, which is an amazing song to hear live if you ever get a chance. It's phenomenal live. All their songs are phenomenal live, but that one's really good. Reach for the Sky, which I do believe, if I'm mistaken, that could be wrong with this, I believe was the saying that Dennis had about their success and how they basically just reached for the sky. And that's how they believed, or that's how they kind of basically looked at their path and where they went through. And I could be wrong about that. I think that's the story behind that one, is that was when someone in an interview at one point, someone asked them, how do you look at your success. And Dennis had said, we didn't really try anything. We just reached for the sky. And that obviously stuck with Mike Ness, and later on wrote a song about it and named the song after that. I think that's the one that was named after that one. I could be wrong, but I believe that's the one. Phenomenal album. There was a bunch of really good songs that were on this one too. All the ones I mentioned. Nickels and Dimes is a fantastic song too. That was one of the joint songs written by Wickersham and Ness. Really catchy song too. It's a really fun one. After that, before that, I'll get to the benefit concert in a minute. Then they had released in 2011, big gap between those two years, 2004 and 2011. There was another hiatus and a mix up in another mix up in band members, people coming and going. They released Hard Times and Nursery Rhymes, which had a bunch of really good songs on it as well. Machine Gun Blues is a fantastic song. They did California, Hustle and Flow, as it's called. Give Me Sweet Lowdown. Alone and Forsaken was on there. Still Alive was on there. A really long... Bakersfield. That's another one that was like a... Alone and Forsaken, sorry, was a Hank Williams song. I forgot to mention that on there, because yet again, he likes Hank Williams so much, so he wrote that. He wrote there's another song on here for Dennis that was released as a bonus track called Down Here with the Rest of Us, and I think it was only released on a special edition. Or was that later added? I can't remember. It might have been like an iTunes one, and then on a re-release of it, they might have a deluxe edition version might have had it on there too. But yeah, that's a really good album too. That was it for their albums. There's rumors they're working on something new that's supposed to be out sometime. I'm not too sure when that actually is going to be, because I haven't heard any rumors. It's been 9 years since the release of an album from them, but they tour pretty constantly. I have seen them. They are up there with how many times I've seen the Aquabats. So many times, I don't think I can actually name the number of times. And there's one year when I was here in Arizona that I saw them three times in 1 year. We saw them twice here in Phoenix, and we drove up to the Flagstaff area to see them up there at this like RV park, like campsite place. That was really fucking weird. That was in 2009, 2008, somewhere around there. I can't remember what year that was. I want to say it was 2008, 2009, somewhere around there. I've seen them so many times because they are from California, so they often were. It was easy to go to Orange County and see him. It was easy to, they were coming, they came to San Diego all the time too, played Haynes Bar and Grill, played the Epicenter, played, I can't think of the name of that venue right now that I saw so many shows at. It doesn't matter. It's still there. It doesn't matter though. So that's that. So my personal story for them is, I was a huge Source Distortion fan from 1990, and on. And when I was working at the record store is when Dennis passed away. It was a very dark day in 2000. It was actually, oddly enough, he died on leap year in 2000, so February 29th of 2000. He was 38 years old. One of the things that he left behind was a family, of course. So Mike Ness and a bunch of his friends got together, and they did a benefit concert to raise money for the funeral and the and expenses left behind by Dennis to with his family. And the bands that played were so Mike Ness played a solo set, which was phenomenal. You had The Offspring, you had X, TSOL, and Pennywise all appeared for the benefit show. My manager at the time, who worked at the record store with me, named Matt, was gracious enough to buy me a ticket to go to it. And we drove up with a couple other people to Irvine, to the I think it's called something else now, but at the time it was I have it open here, the Meadows Amphitheater in Irvine. It has, I think it's like, it's got a weird name now. It's like a company's name. Phenomenal concert. Lot of tears at that show. A lot of very heartfelt speeches given by the band members that of other different bands, especially Mike Ness, who came out and supported them during that show, which is phenomenal. And then I believe the song When the Angels Sing was originally a article title of a Orange County newspaper article, I think. But the concert was called When Angels Sing, which is a benefit for Daryl's family. The tickets were like $30-$35, something like that. A ton of people showed up, not just for the show, but outside also, which is pretty crazy. They had a lot of people. It was a pretty emotional show to definitely be at, but also an amazing show to be at, to see the love and the collaboration that people had for him. It was pretty phenomenal. That was my personal story for Soul Distortion, besides the fact that I've seen him so many times it's hard for me to count at all, ever. That's it for this week's episode. We talked about Soul Distortion. I guess I'll talk to you guys next time. So that's, as usual, let's be awesome.